All right, episode 1.5. We got a couple guys in here. We got Jerry and Atrick, a couple older gentlemen on here. Before we get too started, I think Jerry has a story that he wants to tell.
So I've already got this approved through management, but so 2 weeks ago I came out here for the podcast and Taylor and I were doing it.
It was a banger.
Yeah, I mean, everything flowed. We were like two long lost lovers. Everything just went well. Stories flowed. You couldn't ask for a better, almost 2 hours. We finish, and I think we go to lunch. And so anyway, so I'm heading home. And so now it's probably 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I get a text message as I'm riding. And basically all it says is, it did not record. I had mute on. And I thought he was fucking with me. And I'm like, no, dude, you're fucking with me. And so I pull over. I had to get gas anyway. And he calls me. He's like, no. He goes, I had the mute button on. So everything that we recorded actually didn't. He goes, I posted it up to
Spotify.
It was
on there. I just didn't make it public knowledge.
Right. So, and he goes, I went to play it. And it was a silence. And then he figured out that, yeah, he messed up with the sound equipment. So that's why this is version 1.5, because I had to drive back up or down to San Diego to do this one again. So it probably will sound horrible because now it's...
Anyway, we're just trying to recreate.
Yeah, recreate. But we got Brad from Crash Inc. here too, so that kind of helps take off some of the pressure.
Yeah, that sucked. That sucked.
Like, wah, wah, wah.
Oh, hang on. There you go.
I like it.
No, Brad's in town. Got in town yesterday. It was Thursday about 2:30. So we decided to not try to ride from downtown San Diego all the way back to El Cajon. So we got to go on a little adventure.
Yeah, we tried to go to Mexico.
We tried to go to Mexico. Mexico was closed.
Yeah, it was closed. Weird.
Yeah, we drove through some poop water on the way down there. Got him some good food.
Yeah.
Kind of fucked off.
Nice.
But yeah, all we've got to cover today is, 70,000 miles on your motorcycle between 47 states. And then I don't know if anybody's aware of this, but Brad has a pretty cool event in the state of Oregon. You want to give us a little backstory on that?
That now's your time to talk.
Yeah.
This is how that works.
He's got his sunglasses on inside. He doesn't know anybody can see him.
Stevie Wonder over here.
I'm hiding. Makes me more comfortable. Let's see about the show. Where do I start? So I live in Dallas, Oregon. As some people know or don't know, the scene in Oregon is not what California is motorcycle wise, right? For what you and I, the three of us style of motorcycle / riding that we do. I'd say 85% of the riding population up there is still hell yeah, brother. Or you're just your regular motorcycle riding person. We have two shows, good sized shows. We have the One Moto show that's always been in the late winter, early spring. There's been years where fucking foot of snow on the ground. You can't really ride to this show. And I'm no means knocking the show whatsoever. It's always been a great show, and it's just got bigger and bigger and bigger. But it's cool, and it's an all style of motorcycles.
That's so you get the one.
Show. It's mild to wild. And I just always had this smaller events. Put on bike nights and my own events. And then got really involved with, meeting Jerry and Jeff Holt, you guys, just everybody, and, traveling the country and going to all the big shows, And I was like, God, we need something like this in the summertime that people can ride to. We have nothing like this here.
Cause you've been to Mama Tried and everything.
Right? I've been to just about all the big ones. And knowing Jeff, I was always bugging him like, hey, dude, come up to Oregon. There's a scene. We have a thing, right? And it just never could, dude's busy. And I just kept bugging him about it. And finally, last year, he was like, you know what, Brad? You know enough people in the industry and know enough people. You've got the name. Put on your own show.
Right.
And I'm like, really? You think? Like, he's like, yeah, do it. All right. So
yes, it's not a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah. And you got 3 whole months to plan this
3 months. Like, yeah. Plan, from start to finish, 3 months planning, and it was epic, dude. It takes place on the main fairway of a golf course. I mean, people thought it was crazy, but dude, you were there. It's epic. It's
fucking
it
badass.
Was epic. We had 30 vendors, 100 plus show bikes, and I don't know. It's a free show. That's what I wanted. I wanted a free show, and I wanted basically you pre-register or you can show up day of and have your bike in the show. And so I just wanted it to anybody that could come.
Right.
And I wanted to do it for the people, the community up there, to give them something to go to. You know, you come down to California and that's why I love coming down here so much. There's so much going on in the motorcycle community. Every weekend there's a show or there's something to do. We don't have that up there yet. We're working on it.
Yep.
Exactly. So that was the inspiration behind it. And dude, planned it in 3 months with a gob full of fucking volunteers and I call family, just friends, you know, had a huge, huge support group, and dude, we just made it happen. And it got like instant, like national attention, like people hitting me up from all over the country. And I was like, damn.
Yeah, I was up there last year helping park the show bikes and everything. And we ran out of room. I mean, literally people kept coming and there was no more room to put these bikes. I was like, this is awesome.
I remember because I wanted to go to it, but we had just gotten back literally like 4 days prior from our last roll trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I gotta go. And I hadn't even washed my bike. I think my tour bags were still full of dirty crap and underwear. And I'm like, and then to ride another 1,000 miles to go up to see Brad. And I had to cancel it. I was just, there's no way it was going to happen. And I feel bad.
You guys ended your roll trip at Live Fast, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Yep.
Yeah. So we made the wrong turn and went to the East Coast and came back around, ended up in Solvang for that trip. Yeah.
9,000 miles later.
Yeah. 9,000 miles.
Juan jumped off his bagger, jumped on his Dyna and rode up.
Mm-hmm. He's a beast.
That guy's a monster. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. But yeah, all in all, the show was killer. I mean, shout out to Austin, ADHD Cycles. You know, he's an engineer as well. Amazing bike mechanic, but also an engineer. And he, you've seen the videos. You were there. The layout of the show, he literally overlaid it, like, in whatever that.
He was, like, running around with his iPad, like, this needs to be here, this needs to be here. Like, measurements were exact.
Every
typical engineer.
Yeah, right? Dude, way overkill for a Brad
show. Every bike was, right? Yeah. But stuff like that. People like Austin and many, many other, take me forever to name them all, but I couldn't have made it happen myself.
Well, I love the fact that it's free, because I remember when Born Free, which is not so free anymore, but I remember going to the first Born Free, and I think that was in... I want to say Inglewood or Signal Hill when it was just on the city streets in a commercial complex to what it is today, where, you know, you got to pay for entry and spend $15 on a beer and, you know, and just, it just costs a lot of money. So hopefully you can keep it at minimal cost, but eventually at some point you probably need to start spending or charging a little bit of money just for vendors and such to help pay for your costs.
We pay for it with the vendor spots and sponsors.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
And we do a registration. It's $10 pre-registration, 15 day of. So, I mean,
you got 100 bikes.
Yeah, exactly.
It adds up.
Finding out, because we're doing a 2-day show this year, finding out that it got way more expensive. Way more. We're going to make it happen.
Yeah.
And way more people came out of the woodwork. Like last year was obviously proving it to myself that I could do it, but proving it to the community. And obviously it happened. And now this year I'm like, I got something to live up to now. Like, and double, you know, 2 days.
And it's got to help being that it's 2 days, the likelihood of getting people to come, like getting everybody up there for a 1 day is going to be more difficult than getting people to come up. You got 2 days of vendoring, 2 days of being there for the party kind of thing.
What are the dates for this year?
It's Father's Day weekend, June 15th, 16th.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to be?
June 15th.
That's I know what date it is.
Hang on here.
Yeah.
We're leaving
the 16th.
It's like where in the world is Jerry?
No, we're leaving the 23rd.
Yeah, the next weekend
for our Alaska trip. Right. This is our role ride of a lifetime. This is 3.0.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
where were the first two? Just to give kind of a backstory.
The first one started, we went oh my God, it seems so long ago. It was right when the pandemic hit, COVID hit. Everybody was not allowed on the streets, and so we called ourselves the COVID idiots. And it's like, this is the perfect time. We're going to travel cross country. This is the time to do it because there's nobody out. And it was one of the most eerie rides ever because everywhere you went, ghost towns, like the towns were empty. Nobody was out. Gas stations were, you know, some were open, some were closed. Restaurants were closed, you know, and it was kind of a struggle because you're just trying to find food and gas stations. And when you're on a cross country ride, I don't remember where we went that time. But one of the weirdest things is we ended up in San Francisco and we went across the Golden Gate Bridge and then we had six of us in. Literally, we rode six wide, and then Roji had his GoPro going because that's what he does. And there was nobody on the bridge. And it was weird. It was like that movie I Am Legend with Will Smith.
Yeah,
it was like that. Even the homeless people were gone. You couldn't. I mean, really? This town was empty.
Wow. The homeless people stayed home.
Yeah, they stayed. Yeah, yeah. Actually, I think they found housing for us. But it was. I remember we were up in like Big Sur or somewhere, and we were starving and we're driving and all of a sudden we started smelling like barbecue. And of course Roji, he loves his barbecue and Matt loves his barbecue. So basically they're like two bloodhounds. I could see them. It was like they were working the scent. And so we followed it. It was getting stronger and stronger. And we came across this roadside barbecue guy who was selling briskets and tacos and all that. So we ended up buying like four big briskets from him, spending a couple hundred dollars on this thing. Jesus. And we all had coolers, so we put a brisket in each one of our coolers. And so at night, when we got our hotel,
shaving it off,
we were cutting meat and using a microwave, and then we were just fucking eating meat all night long. And it got a little old after a while, but yeah, it was pretty epic. That trip was probably close to 10,000 miles.
Oh, Jesus.
The one we did last year, we went all the way up to Maine and had lobster on the water, and then ultimately ended up at the Live Fast Rally in Solvang. And so we were trying to top that this year. And so I don't know who came up with the idea of Alaska. So, but it's, you know, it's one of the 40, the 50 states, two of the states we haven't hit, you know, Alaska and Hawaii. So we rode, you started planning it. And so we're going to ride up the coast. I think take the 101 all the way up and then cut over, I think through Montana and then over the Canadian border and then through Canada to Alaska, like to Juneau and Fairbanks and Anchorage. And ride around there for a while, and we're trying to do some ice fishing. And I don't know. I guess there's only like 2 hours of darkness during that time of the year.
Yeah, wow.
So, which will be weird. You know, just never seen darkness. But we were looking at doing some of the where they drill holes in the ice and doing ice fishing, and or renting a helicopter and going through and see some of the scenes. You know, it's pretty badass out there.
If you're going to be up there, you might as well do everything you can, because when else are you going to be in Alaska? Dude.
Yeah, this is one of those trips because I actually thought about not going because it's expensive. And but the more I thought about it, I was like, I'm not getting any younger. When will I ever, not by myself, I'll never plan another trip like this with my buddies that I've ridden all over the country with. So even Lisa's like, you got to go. You're gonna miss out on so much, and you're gonna regret it.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm going now, and then there's a pot. I can just give you just a little tease. In between, this is in late June. So sometime in May, there's an opportunity that a couple of us have been presented with where we're gonna do some traveling.
Brad's eyes are closed. He's so jealous.
And
I am.
Or Orenborn, he's falling asleep.
No, I'm jealous of both. Really bad.
We have to fly to this destination. We got rental bikes. It's going to be a lot of filming and about a week's worth and make some money. Everything's paid for.
But you have to fly there, so I'm guessing it's not in the United States, or you just ride there.
It's not in the United States. And so we that opportunity came. And I'm like, I can't turn that one down. Mm-hmm. And they're paying me. So, I mean, that's kind of like, so air, you know, tickets for the airlines, hotel, food, gas, bike rental, everything's paid for, and then cash on top of that.
So you're getting paid to ride motorcycles, Jerry.
I am.
Dream job.
I am.
God.
I
Hashtag am. Dream job.
Yeah, how do I sign up? Are you guys hiring?
No shit.
And so, yeah, so I really can't give out any details right now other than that until we're still shoring some things up, but hopefully within the next few weeks, I can probably post something on it, but until then, I've been asked not to say anything. I'm sorry.
you want to know something really sad about the Alaska thing? I was supposed to go.
You were?
Yeah, I was supposed to go, and I got hurt. But The worst part about it is I have family in Anchorage that live on Campbell Lake. Look up Campbell Lake sometime, dude. It's literally a giant lake in the middle of Anchorage, and every backyard has float planes pulled up. My uncle has two float planes parked in his backyard, dude. And we could have gone, like, I'm so bummed. Talk about FOMO. I am just, this is the one, like, Roji's tried to get me to go on every roll, and I just never could work it out. And
yeah, because you've always been injured or surgeries broken legs or whatever.
Everybody wants to go to the rodeo.
Exactly. Should have been a cow.
You know, I've been pretty fortunate because it's amazing how close the motorcycle industry is, the people, the relationships. And I've met some of the coolest people who now I consider some of my best friends through social media and eventually meeting. Like Brad, I met him in Four Corners probably 5 years ago.
I was going to guess like least. 82, 83 maybe.
okay.
Both of these big gentlemen can probably fuck me up. I'm gonna take advantage of this.
I'm so going to throat punch you in a second.
Kick the table over.
But I remember I met him and Jason from Ride Fast Pussy. Uh-huh. And then Victor and Ivy Casey?
Yeah, Casey.
Yeah. But I remember, and I don't know if we followed each other prior to that trip, but we ended up hitting it off. And then I do remember, was it you that got hit in the face by an eagle?
Yeah.
American thing I've ever heard.
I know. He comes back and he's like bleeding from the bridge of his nose. And he's like, a fucking eagle hit me right in the face. I'm like, yeah, dude. An eagle?
Yeah.
I'm like, no. He's like, no, seriously. And then I finally met Jason because they had broken down out in the middle of nowhere.
Jesus Christ, dude.
I think his compensator went out or something, or wheel bearing. And that's where I met them. But anyway, so the point, my story is I've met so many cool people and a lot of job opportunities, relationships, and just, you know, seeing some cool stuff. So I'm happy for that. You know, it's very cool. And, you know, I mean, otherwise I'd be just riding around town and doing my thing. But I'm grouped into a bunch of guys that like to do long distance riding. And so we've become super tight. You know, we know how we each operate. We know how everybody rides. And all the personalities, things you got to kind of
You've got a good flow going.
Yeah.
And you don't have to plan shit. You got the general.
Right. You know, I got Roji, I call him the Pied Piper because he plans everything. He gets up at 3 a.m.
Dude.
He plans everything to the last minute, from gas stops to barbecue spots to hotels.
It's fucking rad, I think.
And sounds like zero effort on your part.
Zero. I just follow.
Uh-huh. And chase that yellow
bike. And it's so much more relaxing and enjoyable experience not having to worry about any of that. I just follow. Mm-hmm. You know, we have our pecking order where we all line up, and typically Roji's in the front, Matt's in the back, I ride somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. And you know, we just try to keep the group nice and tight, and fortunately we got our Lexans on, so we can we just pair the front guy up to the rear guy. Yeah. and so they talk and keep everybody, because the bigger the group, it's harder to keep everybody together.
Oh, mm-hmm. Dude, it's like herding cats,
because everybody, especially splitting lanes, and people start getting they start the accordion effect, and
people get antsy.
And so which is nice once you get outside California into some of the open areas, and it's a lot easier to manage,
right?
But yeah, no. So yeah, the last 3.5 years, I've put 70,000 miles on that motorcycle and hit 47 states. The one state I did not go to because I was lazy, because we had stopped somewhere, and they were like, "Hey, if we ride another 100 miles, we can dip a tire into North Dakota." And at that point, we've been riding 600 mile days, and I'm like, I'm fucking tired. You know, I'm not like you younger guys. Like, I gotta lay my head down. And I just like, you know what? Fuck it, go. And I just hung out in the hotel room, took a shower, and relaxed, let them do their thing. And then now that I look back, I should have done it.
You're right there.
I should have done it. So that's why I only got 47 instead of 48.
Do you have a favorite place that you've been? Like, or is there like a couple? Like,
you know what? As far as area and people, probably Tennessee.
Okay.
Just super nice. You know, we went in a time where the weather was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too hot, wasn't muggy, wasn't infested full of bugs. And we ended up in Tennessee because Roji broke down and he ran over a cement truck.
I saw
drive train,
yeah,
a drive shaft. It was probably only 2 feet long, but weighed 80 pounds.
Oh, Jesus.
And he tackled both his rims.
Both of them?
Yeah, both. Yeah. And he hit it straight on. He clipped it because I saw it coming and I'm yelling through my helmet because he was busy on his phone watching the Laker game.
Texting and driving.
Watching the Laker
watching
game.
Man-on-man porn or whatever he's doing.
You haven't written OG yet, have you? No.
And so,
I've met him, but we don't know each other well yet.
So he hits it and I see him. He goes airborne a little bit. And I'm thinking I'm getting ready to watch my friend die. Mm-hmm. And he lands and he kind of shakes it. And then he pulls right off the side of the road. Well, he gets off his bike and I'm like, holy shit. And he's like, what just happened? And so we figured it out. The drive, the cement truck that was literally parked 100 yards in front of us had lost its
drive shaft.
And, but we didn't know that at the time that it came from the cement truck. And so we ended up having to backtrack back to a Bucky's or whatever it was. And I remember I picked up that drive shaft and put it in my bag. I was surprised how heavy it was. So luckily we, you know, so Roji had to get a tow truck for 200-mile ride Dream Rides by John, who happened to have a couple of Roguelite rims and tires that he pulled off something. So we were making fun of Roji with his stock rims on his all fancy bike, but it saved our trip.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty thing. Like I mentioned earlier about the motorcycle world, we know enough people that whatever state we're in, if we have a breakdown or have a problem, we just make some phone calls and they hook us up. Like Brian Clock from Clockworks knows mm-hmm. everybody. So I don't know how many times we've called him for help. Like, hey, we're stuck here. He goes, oh, I'll go see my buddy so-and-so. He's a hamster. Mm-hmm. And then you look these guys up and they're like seriously like legit guys who've been in the industry for 40 years.
That happened right after Biltwell. Brian had left his, I picked him up at the airport and he left his jacket in my truck. So I went to go meet them right down the street from here. And as they pulled into the parking structure, they ripped the hitch off of their truck. They just hit a big bump and that was it. And I sat there for 10 minutes like, this is a problem. You guys are heading back to South Dakota. And he comes back. He's like, all right, guys, got a plan. Terry Madden shops 2 hours north. Taylor, if we could use your truck. I'm like, it's Sunday. Yeah, well, I'll come hang out with you guys the rest of the day. You know, he knows somebody all over the country. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Right. You know,
so in with Tennessee, so we asked somebody like, hey, where's a place that the locals eat? We went something mm-hmm. just kind of that neighborhood feel. And they told us this place. I think it was called Ray's. So we show up and I know you probably don't know. There was a show called Alice. And there was a waitress called Flo who, like, she would say, kiss my grits. I don't know.
Is this before my time?
It's way before your time. It's kind of before mine.
They turned it on me, boys. Yeah.
But we end up in this restaurant, and it's like you walk back into the 50s. I mean, they have Coke signs and all these weird pictures. And then so we're talking to the waitress, and she's super friendly, you know, real flirtatious, just probably 70. Mm-hmm. And she knew how to work a room. She was working us for tips. And so we... But I look over and there's this old guy sitting in a corner and above him, he's got all these pictures of law enforcement and such. And so I asked Flo, I go, hey, I go, who's the guy over there? She goes, oh, that's Ray. He's the owner. He goes, he used to be sheriff of this town. And this restaurant used to be a friend of his. So when the sheriff retired, he wanted something to do. So he bought his buddy out who wanted to move on. So now this is what he does for a living. He runs this restaurant. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, cool. So we're getting ready to leave, and I walk over and just to say hi to him, introduce myself, and say, hey, you know, your place is great. And we get talking, and he tells me that, you know, he did 29 years or 30 years as a cop, and he was a sheriff and canine, and just all those kind of cool stories. And he gives me his business card. He goes, hey, whenever you guys are back out here, give me a heads up. He goes, you can eat here for free. You can stay at my house for free. He goes, my house is your house. And just super, like super friendly, you know? And, so it was, I have his business card somewhere, but just that whole area is that way. Just everybody's friendly. They're waving at you with all five fingers and just super friendly. And then just the area.
All five fingers. That took me a second.
Yeah.
they're not throwing the middle finger.
Right. You know, and just the riding up in the hills and, you know, it's just, there's some great rides up there. Tell the Dragon. We went, you know, been on a couple times and, the first time we did that ride, it was pretty sketchy because it was raining. Mm-hmm. And I think it was one of the first rains, so the roads were super slippery. And, you know, you hit some of the paint lines and you feel your tires, like, losing traction. And so we had to take it super slow. But the second time we did it, we were able to do it at speed, and which was fun. But you have to avoid, you have to be careful of all the lowered Hondas and Porsche clubs that go through there.
That's one of the things that people don't understand. The Tell the Dragon is like a destination spot, but I've rode it. And when I was there, there was a Miata club and a Porsche club there. and I was just in the way. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys are
ripping,
fucking flying,
and they know those roads like the back of your hand, so they can take it at speed,
right,
and be comfortable doing it.
Where I'm like, holy shit, this is a lot of turns.
It is. If you're gonna get motion sickness, that would be the road to get motion sickness on.
I did a trip. This was probably 2016, 2017 time frame, and one of my really good buddies that I worked with, we were in the Navy together. He was getting out of the Navy, and he was like, I just want to take a road trip before we leave. So we took like a week of leave, and we knew we wanted to end up at the Tail Dragon some point. So we had started off going north out of Virginia and ended up in Maryland somewhere, and we started seeing signs for the Smoky Mountains, Blue Ridge Parkway, that whole deal. And we just hopped on the Blue Ridge Parkway, started riding. It's 300 some miles, I want to say. It's a long, you know, you can, and it's not a 60 mile an hour road. I think the speed limit on that's 35 miles an hour. It was beautiful. It's the best road. California people are going to hate me. It's the best road I've ever been on. Like, well-maintained, beautiful, freshly paved, gorgeous. You can go slow enough. It's fun to rip, but you can go slow enough to really appreciate, like, where you're at. And we would get to the end of the day and be like, all right, what do we want to keep riding, or do we want to go to a bar? And we'd fucking, we had a quarter with us on the trip, and we would flip a coin. If it was heads, we'd keep drinking. If it was tails, then keep drinking. If it was heads, we would keep riding. If it was tails, we'd go find a bar and go find a hotel.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, we ended up in the Cherokee Reservation down there, went to a casino, did the whole thing. Like, Cades Cove is another kind of well-known spot out there, but that, I don't know if Tennessee is considered the Midwest. That area of the country
I
is.
I would say so.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Did you get a chance to go by the Smoky Harley, the Harley Davidson?
I did. Smoky Mountain Harley. Have you ever been out there, Brad? Mm-mm. It is really cool. It's huge. And then they also have like a restaurant and a bar.
Really?
It's like a separate building. Yeah. You like drive through on the side, and it's a huge dealer.
Right.
And there's all the, you've been up there?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was there for an oil change, and I've got a flat tire, but it kind of, they have the outdoor area where they have live bands play. It's kind of like a bigger Cook's Corner with the dealership attached to it.
And, yeah. That's a good way of explaining it.
They have events there, and it's, nice. The food was really good. I was surprised how good it was.
Yeah. That's a cool, cool part of the country.
You know what a cool ride was? Is when we did the Montana.
Yeah, that was fun.
Fish.
I didn't know you guys went to Montana.
Yeah, we did. What did we? Well, I met Amber, and I left my house, and we met in Idaho. What was that? We met you, Dave, and Matt.
Yeah, I don't remember where.
Some town in Idaho. So I met them, Dave and Matt, right? Yeah,
yes.
The three of you guys. And we had breakfast because me, Amber, and I had stayed in Hermiston the night before, got up super early, bombed up into Washington, crossed Washington into Idaho, met them. And then we rode all together to, was it, yeah, did you guys peel off or what was that? When did Matt and,
did you go to the cabin with us?
Yeah, we all rode to the cabin together, right?
That's right. Yeah. I don't know where we peeled off though. Yeah. I think Dave went off one direction.
Oh, Dave. It was Dave.
He had to go home.
Yeah. That's what it was. And we rode to a cabin, which was a cabin.
He's using finger quotes.
So it was, it was a friend of a friend's.
It was the owner of a surf company.
Quicksilver.
Oh shit.
This place was. Yeah.
It was a house on the golf course, bro.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was, dude, how many? There was 14, 15 of us.
Yeah.
In this house, all on bikes. It was, dude, it was rad. So then Roji, of course, had everything. We were there for what, 4 or 5 days?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then so we did one day, we went and rode Glacier, which is, talk about slowing down and enjoying something. Oh my God. I mean, being on a bike versus, you know, being in a car, obviously, is just way more epic. Mm-hmm. And then one day we rode up to the Canada border. I don't remember. Then we just chilled one day. And then what did we do? We went to Four Corners after that, right? Is that where we did?
I don't remember.
We did. We ran that down to Four Corners. Because remember, we all got pulled over.
Yeah, that's right.
Was it Colorado or Montana or something?
It was Colorado. We were
doing 90 something. There was like 10 of us.
I
have that picture. That was rad of all of us sitting on the side of the road.
Oh, that was a small town.
Yeah.
It was, I remember because the, I don't know if he was a sergeant or something, but he pulls us all over. I think, was Tucker on that ride?
No Tucker.
But anyway, they pull us over and so I just let him go. Hey, I go, just so you know, I got a gun on me. He's like, no, cool. He goes, I appreciate you carrying. And he's like, okay. He goes, nobody's in trouble. He goes, but we're going to have a small little discussion about small town etiquette and riding.
Dude, we were mobbing, dude.
And Roji's got his GoPro and he's trying to film. And I'm like, Roji, put that fucking thing away.
Yeah, I go, this dude's being cool.
Don't piss him off right now. Yeah. Right now we're going to get a little lecture. And I go, I'd much rather have a lecture than to pay for a ticket. Mm-hmm. And the guy ended up being way cool. You know,
he took like, forever in his car though, dude. Yeah. He stood on the side of the road forever.
He was running everybody for warrants and everything. And, you know, of course I'm like, okay, is everybody on the up around here? Cause I don't know a lot of these guys that well. Some of them that came on that trip.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, I got nothing to worry about. So nobody's bikes got ripped off and nobody went to jail. Yeah,
thank God. Thank God.
You guys that ended that at Four Corners?
Yeah, we ended. Yeah.
I think so. Wow. But yeah, that was fun, right?
You didn't go to Four Corners.
No, I think I bonsaied home.
You bonsaied home.
Yeah, that was a trip that
because we took had off. The house with Justin and those guys.
Yes.
From Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
In Four Corners. That's what it was. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
It all blends together.
And the only thing I can say is when you're riding motorcycles all day, just make sure you drink your water.
Oh, yeah. We should probably tell that story.
Yeah. So
I know the story.
Last year on
this story scared me.
On the second roll, we've been going hard. We've probably been averaging 500-600 miles a day, which, you know, one day and then maybe do a 200-mile day ride the next day is acceptable. But when you're doing 4 or 5 in a row, it makes for long days on a motorcycle.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not talking shit here, but you're 57 years old.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you got to drink your water.
Yeah, I got to drink my water.
No, I'm not talking shit at all.
So, you know, and I remember Lisa sending me a text or something about, hey, drink your water, bring your electrolytes. And I'm like, I promise, I got you. Well, anyway, but on the rides, you know, you don't be that one guy who keeps having to slow everybody down by pulling over to piss. Mm-hmm. So you get up and have a cup of coffee, maybe a Red Bull, hit the day, and then have another Red Bull because now you're 300 miles into the ride and you're tired and you're not drinking. You just don't think about water. And we were running hard for 20 days, 19 days straight. And so on the day before the Live Fast Rally, we were coming down out of Lake Tahoe. We're hitting some long sweepers. And I'm hitting it pretty hard, and all of a sudden my bike, what I thought was my bike, got a little wobbly. I'm like, fuck, I'm getting another flat tire. I think it just felt like the rear end was, and then it went away. I'm like, oh, that was weird. Maybe I thought I hit like a chicken strip in the road or a water cut out or whatever. And then it happens again, and I'm like, I don't feel right, you know? And I realize I'm getting dizzy. And so I'm like, we got 50 miles to the, I think we stayed at Pea Soup Anderson's in Solvang or that area. Mm-hmm. And I get there and I just don't feel right. I just, there's something off. I'm like, I'm tired. I thought maybe I was just no sleep. And so, of course, they're all throwing their swim trunks on and going out at the pool in the courtyard. I'm like, hey, Matt, I go, I'm going to lay down for like 20 minutes. I go, I just don't feel right. I go, I'll come out when I feel better. And then like 20 minutes goes by and then I have one of those dreams where you falling and you wake up, startle yourself. And I sit up and I'm like, oh my God, my chest. I got this pressure in my chest. And I go, I got back of my neck is soaking wet. And I go, I got tingling run down my arms and my fingers. And that pressure on my chest, it almost felt like somebody was standing on my back, like putting a boot through the front of my chest. It was getting more and more hardcore. And I'm like, fuck, I'm having a heart attack. Mm-hmm. First thing I thought of course, my anxiety goes through the roof. Which probably made it worse because every little symptom, I was like, okay, this is it. I'm going to die in this hotel room, you know? And so I text Matt and I go, hey, dude, I go, something's wrong. I go, take me to the hospital. And which I'm glad I did. So all I hear is flip flops running from the courtyard.
Matt's on his way.
Yeah. And one of our friends, his girlfriend had joined us and she had driven her car. So he grabbed keys and get in a truck and we leave. And I'm Googling hospitals and we find this place and it's only like 4 miles away. I get there, tell them I think I'm having a heart attack, and they take me right back and get me all hooked up and say they start drawing blood and EKG and all this other stuff.
Yeah, you don't have to wait in line if you walk in there and say
that. No. So so if you ever want to get ahead of everybody, just tell me you have a heart attack.
Jesus.
And follow for more tips from Jerry.
Yeah. So, you know, and as they're working on me, of course my heart rate was 180. Cause like my heart was running so rapid. And, so it took like 2 hours to finally get some of the blood work back. And so the doctor walks in and he's like, how are you feeling? I was like, well, I'm a little anxious still. I go, my heart rate's still up there. And they start giving me some medication to bring it down. And he goes, well, good news is none of your blood work, the, what do you call it? The markers in the blood.
Yeah, there's trace evidence of a heart attack.
It shows no signs of heart attack. He goes, I think you're severely dehydrated. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to so get in trouble at home.
Yeah, you're busted.
And so they ended up giving me, what he told me was, your body's like a sponge right now, a dry sponge. He goes, all your organs were shutting down. That's why you were getting dizzy. He goes, another couple hours, he goes, that dizziness probably would have resulted in you passing out. And I'm like, oh, you know, this is serious. Cause what if I was on a bike?
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be sitting here today. And so they ended up giving me 2.5 bags of saline or whatever it is. And then as they were, each bag, my heart rate was coming down slower and I was starting to feel better. And then the fact I knew I didn't have a heart attack, it brought that anxiety level way, way down. And I remember leaving like 3 hours later, they drew some more blood just to double check it. And they kicked me out. And I asked the doctor, I go, I'm going to a motorcycle rally tomorrow. I'm a judge for the bike show. And I go, is it okay if I go? And he starts laughing. He's like, you really want to keep pushing this, don't you? I go, well, if I drink water. So he goes, yeah. He goes, drink a bunch of water, drink a bunch of Ensure, you know, some of that stuff, like baby formula. Mm-hmm. And so the next day we get up, I feel a lot better. And ride to the event. And of course, everybody I knew was like bringing me electrolyte packets.
Yeah, they're throwing them at you, hitting instead you with bananas.
Instead of throwing me beer, they're throwing me waters. And I probably drank water all day long. And I'll back up a little bit. The night before I got back from the hospital, I probably drank, along with the liters of saline and then all the Ensure and all that stuff and electrolytes, I probably drank maybe 2 or 3 more pints of water. Pint, I think it's a pint. And I didn't pee at all that whole night.
That's so crazy.
My body just absorbed it.
It was like, we don't know when we're getting this again. We're going to hold on.
We're going to hold on to it. Yep. And then, so it took me about a week to really feel 100%, but so I'm a firm believer that, you know, you got to drink your water.
Yeah. You scared me, by the way, on that one.
Yeah.
And I scared myself. So I'm going to buy one of those pee condoms where you put the condom over your dick and it's got a line like a hose that runs down the pant leg and drops out at the bottom of your motorcycle.
So those really work.
You could just piss on the ride.
Why do you know that exists?
I did a lot of research after that.
I remember it was the night before Live Fast and we rented a trailer for that one. We had just gotten all of our shirts and we're folding them in the trailer. And I saw like Jerry's in the fucking hospital. And by the time I texted you, you're like, nah, dude, I'm good. I'm back at the house now or back at the hotel.
Right.
I was like, what the fuck?
Yo, what just happened?
Yeah, dude, it looked that's scary shit though. I mean,
well, you know, cause you're in my mind went to my house, my wife. Mm-hmm. I should have done a trust. All these things, dude, that would make
I didn't
life...
sign a will before I went on this trip.
Right. I mean, stuff that you don't think about because you know, you don't want to think about it. And, but okay, what if I were to pass away that night, you know, the house would go on probate and it'd be a nightmare dealing with it all, you know, and it would have been a lot of messy cleanup for her on her end. Mm-hmm. And
she was probably pissed.
Yeah, she was mad. And rightfully so. So I remember, there was no cell service inside the hospital. So Matt had to go out and find this one spot by a tree at the east end of the parking lot where he got a little bit of service. And he'd call her, give her updates.
How did that go?
Well, yeah, I think I called her on the way to the hospital. And so she knew. And then she goes, okay, call me when you find out what's going on. So Matt was kind of giving her all the updates. And so I finally get a text message back from her and, you know, hey, she goes, I heard you're okay. I love you. Ride home safe, but I'm still going to kill you. And she had screenshotted the text message where it says, I promise to drink my water.
Oh no.
And sent it right back to me. Just like, okay, here, fucker. You know, I'm like, I deserve that one. Mm-hmm. I really do.
You're like, now that I'm still alive, you can give me shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But you know, but it's kind of one of those things where you think you're invincible and something like that happens. And like, mm-hmm. I'm thinking of my daughter and all the stuff that if I die and, you know, just kind of, it's reality that you got to deal with, even though you don't want to. Mm-hmm. So everybody get their wills, their trust, get them all put together just in case. Because if something happens, it just makes life easier for them, the living, to deal with it.
Yeah. Did you put me in your will?
I don't remember.
I think you get his swing arm, if you told me correctly. You a get his swing arm.
Is that what
yeah.
it is?
Oh, yeah, my you God. Get his swing arm.
I get a swing arm.
You know how many text messages I got for people wanting to pick apart my motorcycle?
You're like, so you're selling it now, right?
Yeah. Like, hey, dude, you know, since you're not going to so be riding terrible. Anymore, can I take your bars, your wheels?
Everybody's so like, terrible. part out.
All the vultures came out. And I'm like, you guys are fucking.
God damn, you guys.
You guys are rude.
Come on.
Oh, my God. That is so terrible.
How does that work?
It's always. Oh, go ahead.
No, go for it.
It's always something on the road.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
It never goes perfect.
No. Like that trip when he was talking about meeting us, Jason's wheel bearing go out in the middle of the desert. Like, dude, middle of the desert.
Jason, RFP Jason?
Yeah, RFP Jason. That was.
I think you guys were all sunburned, too, because it was hot
we were
out there.
Cooked.
Just a bunch of big Irish boys out there in the desert.
We were, I don't remember, I remember where it was, but no cell service. There's probably 10 of us, and Vic and Ivy were with us.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason changed his, or what did he do? He did something. I think he put a new tire on his bike, and he put it back on, and he didn't torque the rear axle. He just ugga-dugged it with a breaker bar.
Big old Jason.
So he just smoked the bearing, right?
You got all them arms, dude. You got to use them.
Dude, so we pull over. We're talking on the Lexans, and he's like, there's something wrong with my bike. Okay, we get off, and I like instantly walk back, and I'm like, oh shit, like, and I know we're in for it because we're way away from any town and no cell service, and that turned out into a whole day. His brother went one way, like they brought back a wheel bearing kit, but we couldn't get it. So then, dude, it was hours, and Vic rode like I don't know 100 miles to get cell service and get a hold of a tow truck.
Oh my God,
stuck on the desert forever, right? So that was the longest day ever, right? So we get all split up and we get to a dealership. They take care of Jason and I don't remember. Like we all ride out there. We go through all of this, right? I have the best pictures of him and I just hanging out there in the desert all day, just getting fried, right? Yeah. Just bored out of our gourds. No shade. And then I'm with Vic. Somehow we all split up. I think I took off to ride with Vic to catch the group. So it was me and Vic. And I think Casey, and we got up the top of the $1 million highway.
Mm-hmm.
Casey, being a photographer, they wanted to stop and take pictures of the bikes. And I'm like, dude, I'm spent, right? After spending all this time in the desert or whatever, I'm going to the hotel. So I bomb down. Is it the $1 million highway or the silver dollar highway? Million dollar highway.
I think
I always get $1 million highway. $1 million highway. It's beautiful. If you've never ridden it before. I'm bombing down, and there's the ski resort called Purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm passing whoever I can, right? And I'm on my old, the Crash Glide, okay. Black bike. And I didn't have a tour pack at the time. I had the big luggage that you stuck on your backrest, whatever, so you could lean against it, you know? And I've got my Simpson on, and it was just starting to get dark, so I hadn't changed my shield, so I had my shield flipped up, and I was just using the drop-downs, a little bit lighter, right? And I come up on, and it's two-lane, right? Two-lane country road with, you know, deep ditches on both sides, and I come up on this, like, little Toyota truck, and he's doing, like, 40 miles an hour, and I'm like, dude, get the fuck out of the way. Like,
I got places to be.
So I finally get to a spot where I can pass and, you know, drop a gear, and you're doing probably 85, 90 by the time you come in after the pass, right? And I pass the dude. I get back over, and instantly I'm in the middle of the lane, and I catch a movement out of the corner of my eye on the right side, and I see this fucking bird take off out of the ditch, like, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm gonna hit this son of a bitch, and I get closer, and it's big, like,
it's a pterodactyl,
dude. It looked huge. I mean, I think it was a hawk, but we call it an eagle because it just sounds way cooler.
It does.
But dude, it takes. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna hit it with my fairing. I'm good. Last second, it clears the windshield, dude, and I take that thing fucking square in the face.
And you've got your visor up.
My visor's up. Oh. My drop down's up. Dude, it hits me so hard, it knocked me out. Like, if I wouldn't have had the gear behind me, it would have thrown me off the back of the bike because it instantly, like, threw me back, and, like, I saw stars black for a second. Thank God I came to right away. Like, and I was like, what the fuck, dude? I come to, and there's feathers flying everywhere and shit. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? And I just turn around, and I look. And the dude behind me that had just passed, his eyes are fucking the size of golf balls. Like, and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like,
he's like, that guy just hit an owl.
Dude. And I didn't even stop. I just kept going. It was,
oh,
but yeah, dude, I had cut across here, two black eyes. It was fucking gnarly.
It's always something.
That's why I got that tattoo.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Well, see, that's the one thing that if there's any cons to riding in the Midwest is wildlife.
Yeah. Deer.
You know, deer. And we came across a couple moose. Mm-hmm. Mooses? Moose? I don't know.
What's plural.
Meese? I didn't go to college.
So I remember riding down the street and Roji's first, Greg, he gets hit by I get to call it chicken.
Wait,
hog.
First? Multiple yeah. people were hit oh, yeah. by multiple pieces that, of wildlife.
Yes.
Okay.
So this big old, like a turkey vulture, the thing was ginormous. It bounces off his fairing and it lands. And I felt bad because I went right by it, looked at it, it broke a wing. I'm like, okay, well, that's going to be some other predator's food for tonight. And then we're coming down this long road and all of a sudden this moose comes walking out across the way and Roji's in front. And Roji's a big man. You know, he's 6'3", 280, 290, mm-hmm. You know, unless he's eating a lot of carrot cake.
He's thick.
And
thickums.
And this thing looked like a Volkswagen bus. And so I've always learned there's typically the deer and big wildlife, they walk in pairs.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm yelling at him, like, wait a second. And all of a sudden, here comes the other moose right behind it. And it's even bigger. And I'm like, if you hit that at speed,
dude,
you're done.
You're dead. You're dead.
Oh my God.
You know,
was this at?
That was in Colorado.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah,
or Montana. I forget which.
Wow.
But I mean, my ex-wife, her and her husband, they got hit by a deer in the Los Angeles, the mountains crest area.
Mm-hmm.
And they're riding and a deer jumped out and he's a big guy. And it basically center punched him in the chest, knocked him back into her. And they both went off the bike and airlifted out with broken shoulder and, you know, road rash. And so that's what one thing that scares me about riding. And I always tell the guys, like, we're leaving early, you know, sunrise, when they come out and they're looking for water.
Yep. Sunrise and sunset.
And sunset. Yep. I go, keep it 10 miles an hour slower until we get out of those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we were on the I-70 through Colorado. We just went and saw Lisa's mom lives in near outside Denver. And so we're taking the 70 and literally every 100 yards, there was a dead deer on the side of the road. They got plowed by cars. And it's like, yeah, we got to be careful through here.
Yeah. So do you guys have that up in Oregon? Same kind of thing. Yep. Down here in, you know, like downtown San Diego, I don't see a ton of wildlife. We got some squirrels.
Probably bums.
A lot of bums. That's what you got to watch out for down here, dude. Yeah. Did you guys hear about, this isn't that great of a story, but there's a video of it floating around. There was a bum when we were up at Chopper Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hanging out, went to the after party, we're having a good time. And then there is a chick in front of the bar as Larry and Heather and I pull up to get our bikes. They're actually walking back to the hotel. I'm getting my bike to leave. And there's a chick in front of the bar in her bra and panties just like gonzo. I mean, just cracked the fuck out. And I'm like, all right, we're going to watch. And then I didn't want to go over there and be around that situation. Well, 10 minutes go by, 15 minutes, I'm hanging out with Larry and Heather. And hop on my bike. Make it 20 yards down the road, get stopped at the stoplight, and here she comes, dude. Sure enough, this crazy chick in her bra and panties comes up.
Please tell me someone has video of this.
Yeah, there's a video. Okay. I'll show you the video.
Okay.
But she, and I'm like, I'm looking at the light like, please turn green. Please turn green. She's and like, she comes up and she's all fucking like petting me and shit. And I'm like trying to lean away.
Was she hot?
No. She's all petting me, and Larry and Heather sent me a video. And it's just them two holding their phone up, recording me. And you just hear them giggling. As soon as that light turned green, dude, I could have been at the drag strip. I was quarter second reaction time. Like, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Just drunk or methed out? Or
it probably all.
Well, she was a prostitute too. I mean, who knows?
I wasn't sticking around to ask. You know, I didn't really want to know. I just didn't want to be there.
Didn't want to get any personal with her.
That's what you'll run into in some of these urban areas. You don't have to worry about the moose. You have to worry about the crackheads.
Well, have you ever seen a crackhead in headlights? deer in headlights?
Well, when I was, I got broke down in just outside of Vegas. Where I went to Sturgis last year with Steve from Speakings.
Mm-hmm.
Blew out a wheel bearing. And I ended up at this terrible Herps gas station. It's a 24-hour, and it got small, maybe like four or five casino machines in there. And so I'm there for the night, and mm-hmm. I'm waiting on trying to get a whole AAA.
Yeah, because you were on your way out there.
Yeah, I was on my way. I never made it home. Ended up having to rent a U-Haul, and it ended up being an ordeal and a lot of damage. But I'm sitting in this place. It's probably 2 a.m, and this black prostitute comes walking in. She's wearing like a bikini top and like booty shorts. Just yelling at the top of her lungs. She's pissed at the staff because they don't have corn dogs or the hot dogs aren't ready or something. And I'm trying not to make eye contact because I know she's going to come over. And I'm sitting there with a bag of chips and a 40-ounce because I'm just bored waiting on a tow truck.
Mm-hmm. You got no way of getting out of here.
No. And all of a sudden she turns and sees me and she just beelines it towards me. And I'm like, oh my God, that's the last thing I want right now. And she walks over and her hairs are all, I mean, she's kind of attractive, but like the streets own her. She's been beat up a little bit. And she's like, hi, sugar. I'm like, hey, what's up? And she's nothing. She goes, what are you up to? She goes, is that your fine looking motorcycle out there? I'm like, yes, it is. She goes, you going to give me a ride on that fine looking motorcycle? I'm like, no, I'm not. I go, I'm waiting on a tow truck, actually. And then all of a sudden she changes the topic. She goes, can I ask you a favor? I'm thinking she wants money. Mm-hmm. And I go, sure, you can ask. And she goes, if you buy me a corn dog, I will suck your corn dog.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And I'm like, no. I go, I'll buy you a corn dog, but you don't need to return the favor. And of course, they were out of corn dogs. And then she went back up and started yelling at the staff.
Oh my God.
And she was getting so belligerent with them. I had to walk over there and tell her, get the fuck out.
No Dude. Kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. Indeed. So my new friend was now my enemy. She just turned on me.
Oh my God.
You know, and she's, I wouldn't suck your dick for $1 million.
Well, you about did it for a corn dog,
yeah,
girl.
Yeah. I go, yeah, you would.
So indecent proposal part two.
Yeah. So she ended up running outside and I was telling Lisa about it and she's like laughing. She goes, cross your mind to do it. I'm like, no.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I mean, she was attractive, but she's like, no.
Yeah. I think I wasn't doing that.
I'm not putting my thing in that petri dish of a mouth.
Gross.
Well, it only would have cost you $1.25.
You know, it'd be a cheap date. And she'd leave, which is the best thing about it.
Jeez. And you weren't going anywhere with that busted wheelbarrow.
No, I was stuck.
I have a really serious question for you.
Okay.
Really serious.
All right.
Did you remember to unmute the mics?
Yeah. Thanks, Brad. Fucking asshole.
I think he missed the first 5 minutes of our discussion.
Yeah, when he's old, dude, you can't hold it against him. It's not his fault.
How old are you?
93.
I'll be 46 next month.
Oh wow.
You and I are 10 years apart, and him and I are 10 years apart, basically.
Right. So Taylor could be my kid.
You're only 31 or something like that.
Yeah. And how old are you?
45.
That's not 10 years.
Yeah, it is.
It's 13.
13. I'm sorry.
14. Oh,
sorry.
Shit.
Wow. You are really young. So, what's the difference between you two then?
27 years.
Geriatric.
26 years.
Sorry, dear.
That was a good opening line. I'm sorry.
That's old. I mean, when you think about it,
it's impressive because I'm so mature.
Wait a second. You're 57?
Yes.
I rode all the way down for your 50th birthday. It's been that long. That seems like it was like last year.
I know.
Holy shit.
Time's flying.
Well,
no doubt.
My dad always said the older you get, the faster time goes by.
It does.
And it does. You know, as a kid, you don't think about it.
Yep.
You know, I remember before he died, a couple years before he died, he's like, you know, he goes, I'll be lucky if I get another 3 or 4 Christmases left in me. You know, and it didn't hit hard until he said it like that. I'm like, oh my God, you know, that's how fast life goes. And that's why I'm like, I got to go on these rides.
Yep. Damn right. You
absolutely.
Do.
You know,
absolutely.
I just read an article about that actually. And what did they say? It goes by faster because you're not making new memories or something like. You're not really getting as many new experience or something. There's some kind of science behind it. Why it seems to go faster.
I don't remember.
I read an article about it. It was actually really interesting.
Well, every day is Groundhog Day. So you gotta keep it different.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, absolutely. I stay pretty busy. You know, I'm somewhat retired. I work at the gym part time, but you know, I'm always doing something and, keep yourself busy. I
mean, going on motorcycle
positive.
Rides.
And positive.
Positive mental attitude.
Yeah, that's right.
Jerry's got the hat on.
I know he does. Yeah. I saw that. Well, he's a man.
When I was getting my engine worked in, I was talking to Josh from RPM Racing, and we were talking about all the negativity in the world. And
oh, dude.
There's people will bitch and complain about everything. Like, see, you give them $1,000, you know, oh, I got to pay taxes on it. You know, they can never just accept that that's cool and move on. And so we were calling it we need to do like a silver lining post where you post something on Instagram, like, okay, if there's something negative you put down on this, I go, I'm blocking you. Mm-hmm. And just, I go, put something you're proud of, something you're, you know, mm-hmm. keep it positive, you know, because mm-hmm. you read so much bullshit, and especially with the election coming up and all the bullshit that's going on with that. And I mean, like, I don't even want to turn TV on anymore because mm-hmm. it just pisses me off. Yep. And that's why I got rid of Facebook.
Yeah. That was why I got rid of Facebook in 2020 because of the election. I was tired of it.
I mean, I remember I got it just originally to look up old high school buddies and guys I play ball with and all that. It was cool for a while, but then it just got into all this infighting and political and religious arguments. Mm-hmm. And
I'm going to pee real quick. You guys keep going. You're good. Keep going. Fine. Okay. You got it. I just got to pee.
This is weird.
No, you're good. Talk to me.
But they, you know, everything is negative on there. And so I'd get up in the morning and I'd go on Facebook mm-hmm. and I'd get pissed.
Yep.
20 minutes. And then I would close the app. And then I would move right on to Instagram. At that time, Instagram was fairly new. It was all mm-hmm. cool stuff. And it was just motorcycles. And
Now it's starting to go that way,
and workout stuff. And now it's conspiracy theorists typically are right. Anti-Bush. It's anti-Trump.
Yeah.
You know, anti-Biden. And it just, every day you're inundated with crap. And it takes a toll on you.
It does.
And I don't like that.
No,
you know, it's just, I'm typically a very mellow person
mm-hmm.
and I'm typically happy,
yeah,
go lucky. And I don't like when I'm grumpy, you know, I mean, I mean, I could be a dick. I mean, we all can, but, you know, that's just not me.
Exactly.
You know, I'm the guy that just have fun, guys.
Yeah. You know, let's have fun. Ride motorcycles.
Let's not argue. And I go, I'd rather, if you can argue about what parts are best, you know,
Just, there you go. Keep it
simple. Yeah. And, but, you know, but what I like about Instagram is the fact, like we talked about earlier, is I wouldn't know you guys if it wasn't for it, you know, so that's the positive lining. Well,
and think about, touch on this point, you touched on how many cool people you meet throughout the country, right?
Right.
If you were an asshole, those people would be cut in half, if not by a quarter, right?
Right, right.
You carry a good attitude, you just, you know, spread the positive word, whatever. Mm-hmm. It takes you places. Like, you don't use it to your advantage, but look how much better your life, just everything you do. Keep a good attitude mm-hmm. and be nice to people and not a fucking asshole to everybody.
Because you attract like-minded people.
Exactly.
Who see that.
Exactly.
You know, and I want to be a part of it. And, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what I love about it. But the negative stuff, you know, it chips away at your soul a little bit. Does.
It fucking wears you out, dude.
It does wear you out.
It does. It's Instagram is a tool. Sorry, I'm back. I had to pee. But Instagram is a tool. I mean, you can use it to be super positive. Uh-huh. And you can use it to make friendships. Absolutely. And you can use it to sell things. And you can use it to be fucking hateful. You can do it for all of these things. If you're one of those people that's just going to be a hateful motherfucker for no reason, then I have no use for you as a human being.
100%.
And I won't be associated with you. I won't have anything to do with it.
I just want to bitch slap them.
Yeah. Right? You know? Like, but there's no, I don't know. I try not to surround myself with that behavior, you know.
I got a funny story about this guy was being a jerk. So a couple of years ago, I had to get a birthday card or something, so I went to the local Walgreens or whatever it was, and I'm driving through the parking lot in my truck, and I see this husband and wife get out of their car and they're walking across the parking lot. Well, she sees me that I'm gonna drive past them, so she speeds up and runs across, let you know, clear the pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy just takes his time. You know, he's mad dogging me through the window, and he's walking like purposely slow to piss me off. And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to hold my composure. And then finally he just kind of stops, and now he's looking right through the window at me in my truck. And I'm like, I kind of put my hands up like, "What's up, buddy?
I'm not the asshole here."
And he slams his palm of his hand on my hood of my truck. God. And I just start seeing red. I'm like, "Okay."
You're what, like 6'3",
260? No. God, I wish. No, I'm 6'1", 230.
Okay.
And so, and I had just got back from the gym. I was wearing a tank top. I got that fresh pump. You know, you're feeling good about yourself. You look good in window reflections of cars, you know.
Yourself right now.
And I'm getting hard right now just talking about it. So,
me too.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
Oops. Hey, I just said that out loud.
So, yeah. So, I step out of my truck. Dude, what's up? And all of a sudden his wife sees me and she grabs him by the ruff of the back of his sweater and starts pulling him away from me, like towards the Walgreens. And mm-hmm. she's like, "Sweetheart," she goes, "you're going to lose this battle."
Leave this fucking guy alone.
And I started laughing. I'm like, okay, that poor bastard, he was just emasculated by his wife because mm-hmm. she knew I was gonna strangle his ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not me. I don't want to be a jerk. I don't, uh-huh. but I'm not going to back down from a fight, and right. I never will. I don't care how big you are, but I don't want to.
Right.
Because if exactly. I get hit in the face, it hurts. I don't, you know.
Getting punched in the face is really shitty.
Right.
I've been punched in the face a lot of times.
I mean, I've been punched in the face, and afterwards, I'm like, yeah, I kind of deserve that, mm-hmm. you know. And, yeah. and I just, whatever, and buy a guy the beer. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, I'm starting to get old now. You know, I'm like
I don't know how many face punches I got left. Like, I don't want to do that
anymore. I mean, you know, now I'm dealing with 20s, 30s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of the bike culture is younger kids. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I try to be respectful. And mm-hmm. and that's why I'm in the gym every day, because I don't want to be able to protect myself and my family and my daughter, my granddaughter and all mm-hmm. that. So, but it's funny. I remember this is kind of off topic, but I was at the gym a couple of years ago, and somehow I ended up working out with these 26, 27-year-old kids. And I'm much stronger than they are, because, you know, I got more time on them, and I got muscle maturity and the old mm-hmm. man strength. And so the one kid looks at me, he goes, "You know what, brother?" He goes, "You could be out slaying the 23-year-old pussy." And I'm like laughing.
Brad is trying not to just bust.
I'm laughing, right, and I'm like, "Oh, thanks." You know, it was one of the strangest compliments I've ever uh-huh. gotten. So I'm driving home, and I'm like, I'm giggling, like, yeah, you know, I'm the man. And I'm like, I can't wait to tell Lisa. So I get home, and so I walk in, I go, "Hey, babe," I go, "you got to hear this." I go, "This is somebody else's opinion, but according to these younger guys at the gym, I could be slaying 23-year-old pussy." And she kind of giggles, and she like rolls her eyes. And then she goes, "Well, I could be out slaying 23-year-old dick too," which she can.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this game is no longer fun. Yeah, nope. Never mind. Time out.
No longer laughing.
Forget I ever said it.
Hit the button.
Because she was right.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Nothing like your wife to bring you back down to reality. Right?
Yeah. Yes. And she's good at keeping me in check. So, I mean, she'll bust my balls in front of people. She doesn't care if I deserve it. She does not.
I could be out there sleeping.
That filter is not in place.
Oh, fuck. That's oh, my funny, God. Man.
That's good stuff.
That's good stuff. Oh, huh. Man. I don't know where to go after that.
I know, right? How do you follow that one up? Yeah, right. The moral of the story is, don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
Don't be an asshole.
That's what we're getting at here.
Don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole to
anybody. Be a good person.
Yeah. It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
It is.
Just be a good fucking dude.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's the quote of the day. Don't be an asshole.
Don't be a fucking asshole.
Put that on a t-shirt.
What are the dates this year for PacWest?
June 15th, 16th.
I'm so stoked it's 2 days this year.
I'm excited. I'm super excited.
And you've got crazy. So last year it was in June as well. Mm-hmm. Did you start planning that in March? I remember it was like 3 months.
For last year.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. March,
it just turned March. So it won't be this year, but yeah.
April. I started planning it in April.
Fuck.
Literally 3 months. Almost. To the exact number. It was crazy.
Because I remember seeing it, like it had popped up a couple times, and it was like mm-hmm. PacWest V-Twin Show, and I didn't know. I was like, what is this? I had no idea. And then I ended up talking to Colin. He was like, "Brad's putting this on." I was like, "This is going to be big. If Brad Columbus is putting this event on, it's going to do really well." And we signed up real quick and drove up there and everything.
It's a lot of work, too. I mean,
oh, man.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
Taylor has a really good way of making my head get really big.
I'll pop it later and be all right. I'll put you down.
Yeah, we're going to start ball busting as soon as we go to lunch.
No, but I guess this year, let the cat out of the bag a little bit. Obviously, we have don't have something to prove. We make the rules, but mm-hmm. we're going to have a fun show. We're going to do the old school biker games. Austin ADHD Cycles is going to host Performance Bagger Shootout.
Oh shit.
Cash prize within the show.
Oh no, I'm definitely coming.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gonna be off the chain, dude. We had
like
said 30 vendors last year. I think I counted right before I flew down. I think we're at 33, 34 vendors. Way more sponsors. We went from not bashing the guy did a great job last year, but like we took it like to the next level, like the DJ equipment and like the speakers and everything. Dudes bringing in. We might even, if we can afford it, a big LED display screen and stuff like that. Holy shit. It's gonna be rad.
It's gonna be big time, dude. Yeah,
we're gonna have more than two tattooers. We'll have like probably six.
Okay. Hey, I got tattoos of the last one.
That's right. You did. Yeah.
I like tattoos.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, tattoos are cool. It's gonna be quite the spectacle. We're just trying to hammer out all the details, and in my experience,
there's a lot of experience on that couch right now.
Doing these
is this
things.
The casting couch?
Yeah, it is. Uh-oh.
Better not blacklight it.
Yeah, exactly. Good thing we're only 1.5, so it hasn't been used too much.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. I'd hate to be about the 10th or 11th.
Way to turn that background on.
Yeah. Where was I going with this? Shit.
Special gifts.
You're going to have all the games. You're going to have LED
screens. Yeah. Not that the guy didn't do a good job, but.
Oh, just the DJ equipment and all of that.
So how is the performance shootout going to work?
How is it going to work?
Yeah. Is that like a separate thing that people enter? Or?
So we haven't hammered exactly the details out. It's still going to be a pre-registration day of. And I don't want to overstep my or say what we're going to do and then not do it. But I think how it's going to work is everybody will register for the show. And then Austin, because he's having the show within the show, cash prize, blah, blah, blah. I believe that class will be handpicked by Austin, I believe. And like I said, don't get me wrong, but I think that's kind of what we're going
to
do.
So you'll be invited into the show to participate with your bike.
Yes, but you'll still be like PacWest will still have, and I think we're going to triple the amount of classes we're going to trophy this year. Just didn't seem like we had.
You guys had eight classes last year.
Yeah, we had a lot, but we're just going to do more because it's fun.
Because that's what the fuck we want to do, and there's no rules.
We make the fucking rules. Going back about like the other show in Portland, we'll just say that. And I'm not bashing the show by any means. I'd love to work with them if any of you are listening, One Moto Show. but that show, and everybody has their own way of doing shows, and I'm not going to but that show, to have your bike in that show, you have to submit your bike. You have to be accepted or asked to be in that show.
Good. I like that.
See, and I do, but I don't. Because we already have that style of show. I want an open show.
No, that exists in your area.
Yeah, so, now
you
so can offer I wanted to do else. Kind of the same thing where, I don't know, it's really hard to explain. I wanted the opposite of what they had just because it's different.
I just want to give more opportunity to people.
Yeah. But Austin's show will be
kind of the selected.
You'll be selected out of that, but you'll still, your bike, even though, so what they're going to do is the performance bagger shootout will be, you remember the layout, the grid, we'll grid it and those bikes will be in the grid, but they will have something to set them off from the rest of the show. Like, remember we had all the bikes leaning one way. It looked really cool. Mm-hmm. They'll probably all be on center stands, like in the middle of the show on a background underneath the bike. So you'll be
fucking
like,
cool.
It's going to be really rad.
And that's kind of like Born Free does something similar, but they have like the SDC show that we are all super into. And then they have the Chopper show.
Yeah.
And it's two separate areas and it's two very different setups.
Right.
So, I mean, you're going to be all in the same area, but it'll be something similar to that.
Right.
That'd be fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of sounds like what Born Free was when it first started. Because I remember it was either first year or second year. I actually submitted. I had a West Coast chopper that I submitted, and I won best Evo chopper at Born Free.
No shit.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Damn.
Yeah. And I can't find. Holy shit. There's video of it, and I wish I could find it, but I can't. I can't. It was such a cool event, but I like that style.
Yeah, it's. I've kind of taken, like we were talking about, going to all these different shows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even when Dream Rides, when Jeff did a show there, when you know the V-Twin Visionary show and Born Free, and when you and I went to Mama Tried, one of the best trips ever, by the way.
Yeah,
cool. You know, stuff like that. I just, and the one show in Portland, and I mean that's a huge show. And I just kind of took all of that and made my own.
You took all of your favorite things from all of these dozens of motorcycle shows that you've been to, and you were like, let me make this my event.
And we made it V-twin only, which a lot of people are like, really? You're going to do that? Like, you're going to, are you sure you're going to get the pull? I'm like, fuck yeah, we're going to get the pull, dude. Because we have nothing else like this. Mm-hmm. Like, and like I said, not bashing the one show. They're all kinds of motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
There's a niche. Mm-hmm. V-twin, right? V-twin show.
Yep.
We got the niche.
PacWest V-twin show, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, people are like, dude, you need to have a metric class. And it's not, I don't
ride a metric bike.
Dude, two wheels is two wheels to me. I love all motorcycles, but V-twin's my thing. So that's what we're going to do.
It's my fucking show.
My show.
Well, he brought up Mama Triad, and he and I flew out and met each other there. And this is the first time that either one of us has been to that show. And, you know, probably one of the best shows I've been to.
Dude, yeah.
Really?
100%.
It's like a multi-level, it looks like an old, like a concert hall.
It's indoors, right?
Indoors. And
so beautiful.
They get their motorcycles on elevators to get them up to the area. And so they had like a three or four, like a couple of the floors were like clothing and parts or whatever, and then the motorcycles. And then you're looking at all the memorabilia, and they're like Blink 182, AC/DC, all these big time bands had played this place.
Holy shit.
And it was cold as fuck.
Dude.
I mean, we landed and our Uber driver was like Tokyo drifting in the snow. And we ended up staying with Jeff and Maggie Holt because they had a place there because they were running part of the show. And then we ended up going to, what was the name of that bar? Fueling or the Fuel Bar?
Oh, we were doing the burnout on the bar?
Yeah. And we go there and of course it's packed. You know, and I get in a run-in with a club guy, and who obviously wanted to fight, and because I walk by him and I put my hand on his shoulder because he was backing up because I was gonna hit the wall. I'm like, hey brother, I'm behind you, and he turns around. He's got his, I forget what club it is. He's like, don't you fucking touch my club, my vest. That's, you should know that. I'm like, hey dude, I go, sorry man, I just
trying to be respectful.
I'd let you know I was behind you. You know, the thing to do, and So he mad dogs me. I'm like, whatever, I don't have time for this. And so I go to the bathroom and I'm walking. I'm watching. As I'm walking towards the restroom, there's a mirror in front of me so I can see him. And he's talking shit. He's like, I'm going to fuck that guy up. And so go to the bathroom and I'm coming out. And he doesn't see me. And so he's right in the middle of the walkway. And so fuck this guy. You know, I walk by him. I touch him on his vest again, just on purpose. I go, hey, brother, I'm right behind you again. And he turns around. He goes, you're just not going to learn, are you? I said, what are you going to do about it? I go, what are you going to do about it? You know, and I go, I'm not in the mood. I go, I just landed. I'm tired.
Just got here.
Just want to have a beer, dude. Yeah. I don't want any problems. And so I go sit down, and I think I told Brad, I go, hey, like an hour later, I go, I got to take another piss, but I got to walk by again. I go, you got my back? Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, because there was like four or five guys there.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk by him again, and he sees me coming, and he kind of steps back, and this time I'd shoulder bump him. I'm like, fuck this guy. And I'm like, dude, I go, let's go. I go, I don't want to fight you inside here. I go, because I know your buddies, you're a bunch of pussies. You end up, you know, ganging up on me. I go, let's go outside. I go, I'll fight you out in the snow. I go, that'd be awesome. Fist fight in the snow. Are you kidding me? And his wife's like, you know, his wife's trying to talk some sense into it. She's like, in his eye, it was already black and blue from like a fight from a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. She's like, sweetheart, just let it go. And I go, I go, listen to your wife. I go, she's doing you a favor. Listen to your wife.
Dude, me and Goo would have rolled this fool. And we would have smoked it.
And so, you know, of course, now he's embarrassed because his wife is kind of on his ass a little bit. And then maybe an hour later, he's like forehead to forehead, jaw jacking with some other guy as we're walking out. I mean, he was just looking for a fight.
Yeah. Idiot.
Yeah. But the show was awesome. The show was awesome.
Epic.
And then, of course, everybody got COVID. Remember, I think Jeff and Maggie, they got COVID.
Oh, no.
I don't know if you got it.
No, I didn't get sick, thank God.
I think I got it. So I think it was all, because it was just all indoors, you know, just a sardine factory of germs and
it's just nasty.
that's how it goes, dude.
That was a cool ass show though. Yeah. And that was cool because we got to go when we went to the museum with Jeff.
Right.
Knows people. So we kind of got to like, We didn't get like the full backstage of the Harley Museum, but like we got to see some cool stuff.
Yeah, they kind of took us in some of the back rooms that wasn't accessible to everybody.
That was when I went to Laguna Seca this year. It was the first time I met Jeff in person.
Yeah,
and it was pretty rad, man. It was like me, Porky, Miles, Chad, Andy, Derek. They knew right where we were going. I just kind of rolled in, and we rolled right into Laguna Seca, right past everybody, park in front of Jeff's booth. I'm like, this is fucking sick. We're hanging out with him for an hour or two. He's like, hey, you guys hungry? All right, come back here. I want to show you this. And he's fucking making us tacos, and he drops the back of the trailer, and the carbon glides in there. And I'm like looking behind the scenes. Look, he hadn't debuted it yet. You know, it was on the trailer, mm-hmm. but he was like, I got to wait and bring this out for Milwaukee. This is all out now. But I remember being like, this is kind of cool. Like, yeah. He unzipped the curtain, and we got to go to the back.
Unveiled it.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, man. Yes, man, that's another cool event. If you guys haven't been to Laguna Seca,
I want to go this year. Dude. Brett's trying to get me to ride down with him.
That is a really... So you have like Bagger Racing League, you have Moto America, you have all these different things. Watching like the Harley team and the Indian team, seeing that in person is a different thing.
Duke it out.
It is. You don't realize how fast those guys are going on those bikes. Oh, I mean, it is fucking impressive.
And the only thing stock on those bikes are probably the frame.
Oh, yeah. It's not a Harley.
They're $300,000 bikes.
It's at least, dude. I mean, they've got... Like when you walk by, because you can walk down pit row and see everything. And no, I don't think I saw anybody actually wrenching on a bike. Everybody's on a computer.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many sensors and everything, and they're studying, they're looking at, I don't fucking know what, but it was super cool. If you can make it to that, that's a good event. And then afterwards, everybody goes out to Cannery Row, right down there, right on the water. It's Monterey's a badass town. That's a really cool event. You got to try to make it to that one. I think that's in July.
I'll be gone.
Yeah, he'll be gone. I'll go.
Come down. I saw Brett was there last year. I saw him up there.
Yeah. He wants me to go down with him this year.
It's a good time, man. And then you're coming down for Bay Area Throttle Fest, right?
Yeah.
San Jose.
And Austin, Colin, and Robert.
May 18th. I think we're getting a big group of dudes from down here to go up there. That's a San Jose Harley. Yeah. We're doing a bike show for that one, too.
And then we're going to turn around and ride south. I'm going to come down.
There we go.
Oh, you'll be gone.
If this plan works out, I'll be gone.
Where in the world is Jerry? You never know.
Well, it's a 16-hour flight. I'll give you that much.
I don't know.
Antarctica. I don't know. I don't know how Roji's going to sit still for 16 hours.
Dude. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's going to be up every 20 minutes.
Don't get a seat next to him.
Dude. No. He's going to need his own aisle.
Well, you know, the thing is, he sleeps with the TV on. He needs noise to sleep. Mm-hmm. I remember one night we were rooming together, and I forget where we were. And, you know, and I'm a snorer. He's a snorer. So, you know, that canceled each other out. But he left the TV on. And I remember like 2 in the morning, I get up, and I'm like, fucking TV's still on. So I turn it off. I lay my head back down. It's 10 seconds later, I hear him sit up, says something, grabs the TV remote, turns it back on, and goes back to sleep. And I'm like, okay, I guess he needs the noise, background noise to sleep.
I'm the same way. I fall asleep like listening to podcasts or watching TV or something. Well, I got to have some kind of noise.
When people listen to this one, they're going to be sleeping too.
But yeah.
It's boring.
Jesus.
No, that's all good.
I'm stoked. This year's going to be good.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to get to go to Alaska, but I'm actually going to finally get to ride.
Yeah. We're going to go do some of that next.
Let's go.
Let's go get some lunch. We'll go up to Mount Soledad. We'll fuck around.
I like it.
Have a good time. Jerry, thank you so much for coming back down.
Just waste another month of my days. It's not like it's a short trip to get here or anything.
Yeah.
Hopefully we see you on Sunday again too, right?
I'll try.
Yeah.
Breakfast.
Breakfast in Oceanside, right?
I'll try.
Yeah. Ricky Rip.
Hell yeah. All right, boys, we're going to get out of here. Thanks again for coming on, guys.
Right, you're welcome. Love you. Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.